And welcome to the third meeting of the Joint Interim Task Force on Fair Pricing of Prescription Drugs. My name is Sam Imperati. I am the facilitator. We'll do some quick...
Your line is now unmuted.
Alonzo Leon.
Oh, great. So the representative is able to join us, and the great news is the reason she can't be here in person is that her mother got sworn in this afternoon as a U.S. citizen. So let's give her a round of applause. Congratulations, Representative.
Thank you. My mom is just over the moon and super excited about it. And more importantly, she's very excited that she gets to vote for her daughter. Thank you, everybody, for that love and support. I'll let her know that you all applauded her achievement.
I do have some op research to the contrary as to where she's leaning on the voting, but we'll share that offline. Thank you. All right, so getting to some changes and introductions. The generic team that sits at the table, ex officio, not as a voting member participating, has a substitution. And so, Brett, why don't you introduce yourself? And
thank you. Yeah, Brett Michelin with Association for Accessible Medicines, and thank you for allowing us to make a bit of a change. I represent Oregon for the association, so it just made a little more sense than having somebody fly in from D.C. Each time, and so I'm happy to be here.
Well, thank you and welcome. That'll be the last change of teams.
Thank you.
Yeah, the transfer window closes, you know.
Yeah.
And you can't do it. And then we have Jesse O'Brien, as you know, was a consumer rep. He's now working with Andrew, and we have a new consumer rep in the form of AARP. John, I'll let you introduce yourself.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm excited to be part of this. Many of you know me well. I'm Government Relations Director at AARP Oregon. I worked for the Alzheimer's Association and Osberg before that. AARP has about 514,000 members across the state of Oregon, and I would wager that every single one of them either is currently or will eventually be a purchaser in some way of prescription drugs. This is also a personal issue for me, as my wife has MS, and the costs of that have affected my family as well. I worked to pass this legislation in the first place, and this is one of the top issues that AARP works on at the state level as well as nationally. We've been a big advocate for reining in prescription drug prices in a reasonable way. Any and all of our policies and our policy positions, as well as our principles around this and all issues, can be found at policybook.aarp.org if anyone is ever interested in learning where we stand on these issues. So thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Thank you. And I'll turn to the two co-chairs for their ceremonial welcome and opening comments. And sure. Dance number.
I'll skip that part. Hi, everybody. Good afternoon. Dana Harganani. I represent the Oregon Health Authority. I'm their chief medical officer, and I'm pleased to be your co-chair for this task force. I, as you may know, I had to leave the meeting early last time, but I did stay and maintain on the phone for the entirety and was glad to hear both the conversation and excited to talk about the outcome of the survey or the preliminary results of the survey today. So welcome to Brett and John as additions, and glad to have you here.
Thank you, Dana, and good afternoon, everybody. Andrew Stolfi, the other co-chair from DCBS. Brett, John, also welcome to the task force. I'll just add, thanks to everyone for filling out the survey, and it's a lot of really great information. We don't have a lot of time to do a lot of important work, and getting this information's a very helpful first step, so thanks, and we're looking forward to diving into it today.
Thank you both. So just to make sure in your packets and on OLA, so you know, you should have the updated roster with all the member, the new current members of the task force there, so it's all in one place. You also, there was a meeting summary that was posted, and there will be some slight amendments to that. And you have the meeting evaluation summary that shows, rolls up the input you gave us on what you would like us to do better, that we did well, and was otherwise groovy. And we took those comments to light. Because for instance, one of the comments was, in fact, to have our charge front and center, so we can always reference it as we go through the various process. And I think that was James's idea from last month, sorry. And so it's there. I'll be constantly trying to keep us on task and moving forward. And if you would autograph that for us on the way out so we have a record, that would be appreciated. All right, the agenda review is we're going to look at the glossary. We're going to look at some of the survey results. We're going to look at a proposed evaluation process. We'll have a public comment period, and we will do the closing comments, next steps, meeting evaluation. So let's dive into the pharmaceutical terms glossary. And Oliver was the behind-the-scenes person that put that together for us, and he'll give you and members of the public an overview of how that document came to be. So Oliver, take it away.
Great. Thanks, Sam. Thanks for having me here for a few minutes. So I just want to spend a couple of minutes. Let me start by acknowledging. Thank you. I think we heard from six or seven members over a very short few days about getting us input and guidance on enhancing the list. So we started initially with about 30 terms. This was something that was provided by the National Association of State Academy of Policy folks. And so I think it was a good starting place, but I think what we were able to do with your all's feedback is take it and really expand it. Obviously, this is a complex topic. We need to make sure that we're talking about these terms in a way that we all agree upon. And so hopefully the glossary is a tool to help get us there. So you can see it's posted. You should have it in front of you. If not, it is on OLIS. It is still, I would say, a working draft. We want to continue to add it as needed. But just to give you a quick highlight, we added 15 terms, and we revised more than half of the terms based upon the feedback. So again, thank you for that. I think there's a little bit more precision. I think there's a little bit more objectivity and clarity. And this is now the task force document. This is not a NASB document any longer. So we'll continue to use it in the coming months. So please use it as a reference guide. And again, it was sent out with the survey. Obviously, there's a lot of terminology used in the survey, and hopefully this was a resource to be able to look at, okay, what do they mean on some of the terminology that was put in the survey?
So with that said, is there anyone at the table in the moment that looked at that glossary or elements of it and said, oh my goodness, this is a term from another task force that Oliver is handling, or there's a missing term here or anything, or you want to refine it further, or is it good to go now as a working document for purposes of taking us through the next meetings? And if we have to finalize something in October, great. But I'd like to not have it just floating out there. But I also don't want to cut you off if we've missed something or unintentionally misstated something. Yes. Yes, Abigail.
So I don't have an issue with the glossary as is now, but is there a way to put in the glossary or mark for the record what we talked about in the previous meeting, where this glossary is just for our working purposes, is not intended to be the legislative drafter's definition of anything? Is there a way to mark that in the glossary somehow?
Yeah, I would say yes. I mean, it's for purposes, limited purposes,
right,
of this task force to have a common understanding of how we're using the terms here. It doesn't have purposes outside of that. Words to that effect, is that what you're looking for?
Right, just so that those definitions don't conflict or carry over with codes. Should we try to draft something later?
Okay. So. John, thoughts?
Yeah, one thing that I don't see on this glossary is something that consumers do deal with in terms of prices, and that is a copay assistance program.
Okay. So if you'd like to submit, or any of you want to submit, say by Tuesday at 5, a definition for what that would look like. We'll blend those definitions together and come up with one that reasonably represents that construct. Any other missing items? Does anyone have any objection to Abigail's suggestion that we put some sort of framing slash disclaimer language? Any objection to that? That really was the intent of the document, but anyone have any heartburn over that? So we'll come up with some language, you'll see it, and we'll see if it's groovy. Oliver, thank you very much for doing the laboring.
I have one more to add, and I'll apologize to the group that I don't have it in front of me, so I apologize if it's been added. But I was looking through the cost factors, and there's one called data sharing agreement, and I have no idea what that is. Could we define that in the glossary, if it's not already?
We did not, but we'll add it there, too. Again, similarly, if any of you want to suggest some language for that, send it to Oliver, and we'll merge them all together and do it.
Thank you.
Last call. Any concerns with the font choice? We're hearing none. We're good to go. All right. The next item is the transaction and transparency survey document. So this is the landscape document that you have in front of you, and it is on letter size landscape paper. And not to embarrass anyone, I'm just trying to calibrate how much background I need to give or not give. Did everyone have at least, roughly an hour to kind of skim this thing? If you did, just nod ahead of that. I know it takes longer than that, and I know there's many questions, but I'm just trying to calibrate how much detail and not say things that, so you already know. So, again, like Abigail's suggestion or caveat, this really is preliminary. This really is draft. We got most of the survey responses last Friday evening, and then we got some Monday evening. And so since Monday evening to literally what time is it, we have been doing our best to crunch this information and put it in a usable format. Please know and see that it has the word draft all over it. We have not had an opportunity to spot audit the results for data fidelity, obviously a necessary step. Secondarily, I suspect if you're like me, you're going to look for all those references to your name and see how well we did capturing your comments. And if we made a mistake, please email me. I swear to you, it would be totally unintentional and just because of the constraints of time and space. But if something's there that you go, what? I never said that. Please let us know and provide that kind of check. We did a very good job of resolving rolling up questions one and two. Question one is, what was your name? And question two was, what interest group do you represent? We nailed that, and we're pretty confident we've got that accurately done. On question three was the direct transactional relationships and cost factors and contractual legal barriers. That turned out to be something that the state's mainframe computers were not capable of crunching in the time allocated for the task. You will see later on, after the break, we have a very quick and dirty sort of roll-up of what that will look like, but it is really something that we just did not have time to do. We will develop a schematic for that with the data and summary of your responses and get that out to you well before the next meeting. So the table of contents is pretty self-explanatory. Let's just go over them one at a time. So page 2, section A. We took all cost factors that were mentioned in questions 4 through 9 and culled them out from the Excel database and put them in this table in alphabetical order. There is one caveat to note by way of transparency. There were cost factors mentioned in the data for question three. We did not have time to pull those out and incorporate them into this chart. However, having read everything else but three, I believe this list is pretty complete, that people were, because there's a lot of well-intentioned and purposeful repetition of information you gave us because it was similar, your responses were similar depending on the question. You will have an opportunity later this afternoon to add any missing cost factor that you put in your answers to question three or have thought of since. So it's not a lost opportunity. We're not trying to cut down on input. In fact, we're trying to encourage it with the given the constraints of time and money and energy. So that's all this table says. Here are all of them for our consideration. Not set in stone, not final. Page 3B, cost factors and drug prices. So there were three parts to question four. Please answer the following set of questions were designed to elicit general themes and common practices, not each unique situation. That's the question stem. Then it asks to look at, from the list of cost factors, which included your opportunity to add others, to rank the top five factors that you believe most significantly increase the price paid by Oregonians, where one is most influential and, you know, five would be the least. The flip question then was asked in Q4B, the top five factors that significantly decreased that. The chart on page three and the top half of page four summarize those results. Let me try to give you, we presented information really two ways here, and you will ultimately decide which of those ways is most helpful for you in your analysis. We don't have to agree as a task force, do you like approach A or approach B to this data? It's just information. You weigh whatever way you deem it most appropriate. So let's look at the left-hand column, cost factors are most likely in increasing prices. The far right column, or the fourth from the left, is percentage who ranked a cost factor in the top five. So what this means is 85.71% of you said list price was the top cost factor that most influenced increases in pricing. Okay? 35% said drug products, and so on down the line. If my math is correct, we're starting at insurance benefit, where that's 7.14. That means one person laid that out, given the number of people on the task force. So one way for you to consider this information is to look at the percentage of people on the task force doing it. So in other words, you know, if we were to take a straw poll consensus, we would have 85% of the people saying list price most influential increasing. Just for parallelism, because we want to have both sides of this equation, look to the right column, the right box, which is cost factors are most influential in decreasing prices. There, we found that 78.57% of the people said discounts were the most important cost factor in reducing price, then rebates, incentive programs, etc. And then list, and interesting here, list 21% of you thought list price was most influential in decreasing, and 85% of you thought list price most influential in increasing. So we need to talk about, you know, that particular issue, because obviously it depends on what lens you're looking at and from what angle. We'll have these discussions. I'm just trying to get everyone on the same page with this first data pass. Now, my assistant, who is a PhD and is way smarter than me, came up with this thing called influence rank and influence index. And those are the middle two columns of the increase options and the decrease option. The second column, influence rank, is simply the ordinal of most biggest influence to least influence. It comes from the third column, influence index. Here, contrary to normal surveys or how our brain thinks, the lower number is a better number, meaning more influential. That's why the first rank got 2.57 and number 22 got 6, although that math error because there's zero people that ranked in the top 5. So how was the influence factor created? I ultimately ended up majoring in law because Excel is not my friend. So I will read to you what my assistant indicates, what this index factor is, so you can make a decision on whether or not it's something. Go ahead. Thank you. So here's what she says. We had 14 total people who provided a response to these two questions about the relative influence of each cost factor on price. The first allows you to see how you all rank the cost factor relative to one another. We did this by creating what we're calling a, quote, influence index, which is essentially a weighted average of the influence factor assigned to each factor. If a cost factor was not ranked in the top 5, it was assigned an influence score of 6, because lower is worse. We then computed the index score by multiplying the frequency of each influence factor by its weight and then dividing by the total number of respondents. Goes on to say that she then took your social security numbers, divided them by pi. No. So what that is showing is a way to weight the influence. You can accept or reject that. It is simply a quick and dirty way to look at the data in such a way that it can give you another look should that be something you want. Bless you.
Thank you.
The again, and you get one more before you're done.
No, I've got dispensation. I had sinus surgery last week.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, by goodness.
So I get dispensation on sneezes.
Okay,
today.
Please do.
Thank you.
Page 5, number C, cost factors and transparency. So here, the 40-some cost factors that were identified were put into two columns, the ones that you're recommending for more transparency and the ones that you want to remain non-transparent. What you see here is simply a frequency table noting, for instance, that 8 people recommended rebates